Sometimes the world seems very heavy. I don't know about you, but I have felt this heaviness of the world for the last few weeks. Wildfires are burning in several areas in the country, including my beloved Boundary Waters in northern Minnesota. Water levels are hitting record lows in areas that have been experiencing drought for several years in a row. COVID infections and hospitalizations are rising while ongoing arguments about masking gets ugly. Haiti, still reeling from the assassination of their president, gets hit with a major earthquake, followed by a tropical storm with the number of dead climbing daily. Afghanistan is experiencing chaos and turmoil as thousands try to flee to safety. Sometimes it feels as though we are in the midst of the struggle against the spiritual forces of evil, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, what the author of Ephesians talks about in our reading this morning. The enemies of our struggle is against are not physical beings. They're the impersonal forces that ruin human life. They're the structural powers that bend individuals in the direction of wickedness. Racism, sexism, the military-industrial complex, and economic systems that impoverish many while making very few rich. We tend to focus on the enemies we can see, but completely miss the real enemies we can't see. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, the author employs the community to take up the whole armor of God. Some may view this as a battlefield speech, similar to one you could see in Braveheart or Lord of the Rings. It's geared to prepare, fortify, and motivate the community to face the battle ahead of them with determination, courage, and perseverance. This battle against evil, however, has already been won by God through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Doug Brack speaks of the importance of being honest with what is at stake in this war. He writes, "Satan and his henchmen strongly suspect they've already lost the war to God in Jesus Christ, yet they're determined to inflict as many casualties as they can. The evil one can't separate us from the love of God, but they are certainly trying all they can to sever that bond. Spiritual forces of evil still continue to try to sneak into our lives and try to overthrow the people of God." The author of Ephesians uses the armor of a Roman soldier, something the Ephesians would have seen on a daily basis, as the metaphor for how to be strong in the strength of the Lord's power during our struggle against the wiles of the devil. The armor of the Roman soldier was among the instruments of terror that the ruler of the Roman Empire and his forces used to intimidate and suppress people. Each piece had a very specific role. The wide belt around the waist of the soldier would have helped the soldier to gather his toga before going into battle. Thus, he would be able to move unencumbered. The belt fixes what's necessary in such a way that the soldier is free and flexible, able to walk or run, loosed from any constraints that might trip him up. The truth of God frees us to walk or run. It removes the constraints as we head into the battle against the enemy. The breastplate, made of solid metal, would have guarded all of the vital organs, including the heart. Righteousness helps to guard our own hearts. The sandals the Roman soldiers wore were thick and had short nails hammered into the bottoms of them. They protected and anchored the soldiers' feet in battle so that they could fight with a good, solid foundation. If we are to battle successfully and proclaim the gospel of peace, we must also be grounded and have a good foundation. The shield would have been 2.5 feet wide by 4 feet tall. It would have been 1 inch thick wood wrapped in leather, edged with metal. It could be drenched before going into battle to help quench flaming arrows. It would cover not only the soldier, but a third of the man standing next to him. Sometimes the shields were more effective together to create a stronger barrier to penetrate. Our faith is stronger together, and our faith can help protect our neighbors. The helmet, usually one of the last things to be put on, was hot and heavy. The helmet of salvation recalls the mark of the cross that each of us receives when we are baptized on our forehead. Once the helmet is on the soldier would then grab their only weapon, the sword. Taking up the shield and the helmet evokes how we have been saved through faith, not through our own actions, but through the action of God as a free, pure gift of love. The entire armor of God is not of our own making. It comes from God, who provides the resources of resistance. They're not instruments of destruction, but rather gear that builds up the community and equips us for ministry. Most of the pieces in the armor described in this passage from Ephesians were for defensive purposes, to protect oneself and others against attacks from the enemy. Only the sword, the word of God, was used in the offensive. Many aspects of our message from Ephesians are countercultural. We're called to be strong in something quite beyond anything in ourselves. We're called to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The you in this message is plural, meaning that we are called to resist evil together in community, not as isolated individuals. We're reminded that we are to be strengthened by God in communal dimensions that are mentioned earlier in the letter to the Ephesians, living with love and peace toward one another, singing hymns to God, speaking truth, forgiving one another, and reflecting Christ in our homes and closest relationships. We think we can live the Christian life in our own strength. We live in a world that emphasizes self-help, digging down deep and finding resources within ourselves, sometimes even the divine within. The verb used in today's text is a present imperative passage, and for those who forget what that means from English class, it means that we must not be strong ourselves, but that we must be strengthened by someone else. We will be strengthened in union with Christ. The image of withstanding the wiles of evil should not be misrepresented. The author of Ephesians isn't depicting someone who's victorious, strutting, pounding their chest, bellowing, unwounded and unscathed at the end of the battle. Rather, victory means simply standing. The armor is a survival strategy for persons of faith in a hostile world, not a strategy for aggression. It's designed to help people stand fast. It doesn't require a person to hurt a neighbor in any way. When the evil day comes, when we find ourselves under attack, we will be able to hold our ground because Christ has already won the victory over evil. We may be a little worse for the wear after the battle, but we will stand firm. And let's not forget the importance of prayer, mentioned at the end of today's text. The author of Ephesians encourages the community to pray at all times and to persevere in prayer. We're called to pray for one another and for all of those who are part of the family of Christ. We cannot go into battle alone, and we cannot go into battle without prayer. I've had some fun this week in some conversations with colleagues and friends around this text. Just as the author had used a familiar image to the community in Ephesus, I pondered what things might be part of our armor today. Perhaps the belt that allows the soldier to be free and flexible from constraints and other things that might trip them up might be a lie detector. With it, we can help determine whether the half-truths and clever lies that the evil one whispers in our ears are the truth from God or lies from the evil one. The author of Ephesians urges the community to get ready by arming themselves with truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. As we look at the struggles we see today, what attributes and qualities should we add to the armor? One commentator suggested perhaps we need to put on the glasses of insight. or carry the books of stamina. Maybe we need to engage in battle equipped with patience and compassion for those that think differently from us. Perhaps we need to arm ourselves with knowledge and education rather than misinformation. I wonder what it would look like to take up the armor today. I wonder what armor my neighbor lacks that I possess. I wonder what armor I lack that my neighbor possesses. I wonder how we can work together to strengthen one another to withstand the battle. The battle against evil may be seen coming at us from different angles, but take hope. The ultimate victory has already been won by Jesus Christ. When we work together and take on the armor of God, we can defend ourselves and stand firm in the truth and love of God. This morning, I would like to end with a prayer that I found from Larry Keeler, who was a Mennonite pastor who worked extensively around the globe. He writes, "Dear God, the world seems so dark and foreboding. Where are the signs of hope? What are you calling us to do? Wars, uprisings, displacements, hunger, poverty, and disease continue to claim victims by the millions around the world each year. Our ears do not want to hear their stories, and our eyes do not want to see their plight, because the suffering and destruction is so massive and cruel. In our hearts and minds, there is a desire to help somehow, but the crisis seems so overwhelming that we shake our heads in dismay, and we wonder what the point is for us even to attempt to be witnesses for healing and hope in this hellish morass. We beg with the songwriter to open our eyes that we may see glimpses of truth you have for us. Help us to follow the path of Jesus, the suffering servant. Give us the courage to be willing to walk the path of depression and pain with the victims of injustice, here at home as well as abroad. Help us to seek ways to light candles of hope, however small, through our words, our deeds, and our prayers. To encourage our sisters and brothers to hold on to the faith in spite of the pain and suffering they are facing. And help those of us who are among the fortunate ones, who have enough bread to eat, good health, and who live in relative peace, to open our hearts to learn from our sisters and brothers who are living lives of grace and forgiveness in the horrid circumstances which surround them. O God, help us to light one candle rather than to curse the darkness. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who knows what being a light in this dark world is all about. Amen."